Well, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Matthew. I've been at Valley Church, this family, for 11 years, and I don't want to be anywhere else than right here at Valley Church. Who feels the same this morning? It's the fifth Sunday, and I was just kind of doing the math. It's been 10 years. On the fifth Sunday, Pastor Lynn Hardy, who is right now on vacation enjoying the beaches of Mexico with his wife. So we'll just say hi, Pastor Lynn and Pastor Renee. We love you. Hello. But on the fifth Sunday, we've been having up-and-coming voices share. How many of you appreciated the up-and-coming voices over the years? I'm thankful 10 years ago, I got to be one of those up-and-coming voices. We have anointed speakers today. There's been a lot of prayer over them, and we could just feel the Spirit of God. So are you guys ready? Are you ready? I just want to quickly encourage you to prepare your hearts during worship. Man, wasn't that powerful worship this morning of Jesus? Who felt God's presence? During the second song, I had an image of the Holy Ghost just landing on people. And I said, what am I seeing? And I felt like Jesus said, this is the Spirit of grace. How many are thankful for grace this morning? Never been about performance, perfection. And I heard a definition years ago. It was, grace is the divine influence of God upon the heart. And I feel like this morning, as you're listening, God wants to touch you. You know, a lot of times we think we're just getting information when God wants transformation. God is always after transformation, information secondary to him. And I just want to tell you this morning, I believe his grace, the Spirit of grace is here, the divine influence of God upon your heart for you to hear, be transformed, and to live out what you're going to hear this morning. Come on, can I get an amen to that? So I get to introduce our first speaker. This is the first time this man of God has been up here on stage, but I believe it's the right time. I'm confident it's the right time, actually, in the Lord. Him and his wife lead a Southwest Boise table group. Yes, table groups here. And for about a couple months, they've been leading our second Sunday altar team. Who's thankful for our altar teams Sundays? These two have been leading and getting here early and making sure we're spiritually prepared. He is a husband of an amazing wife and a proud father of two sons, Israel, two boys. They are rambunctious, energetic boys, I'll tell you that. These guys have energy. Probably get it from their dad, maybe just a little bit. Israel and Zeke. I hope I said that right. You can correct me afterwards. Israel and Zeke. But would you join me in honoring Trent Hellworth this morning?
Good morning. So this morning I'm going to share just a little bit of my testimony and just followed by my heart and hopefully God's heart as well. So God, just let my words be your words. Just give me the words to say. Anything that I'm not supposed to say, help me to not say it. And if I do, forgive me and let it fall to the ground in Jesus' name. All right, so I grew up in a spirit-filled home and church in Ohio. So this is in the 1990s, you know, during the Toronto blessing type movement. So there were pockets throughout the country where God was moving. And I witnessed a lot of this growing up in church. So I saw people falling out. I saw gold dust falling. I saw the laughter. But I never had my own experience for myself, right? And I just remember thinking it was kind of weird, honestly. And I would bring friends with me to church every once in a while. They would look at me like, what's going on? I'd be like, I have no idea. So I had a little bit of that, you know, fear of man, kind of that peer pressure, and I just never had my own experience. So one Sunday, I actually had a prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think I was 10 years old. So I prayed for it. Nothing happened. I think I ended up sounding Chinese, you know, coming out, speaking in tongues. So I didn't receive it then, obviously. And every couple of years or so, like on a Wednesday night, we would watch one of those old school Left Behind movies. You know what I'm talking about, like 1980s. Scare the crap out of you type movies. Pardon my French or my Chinese. So that was, you know, kind of my impetus in my walk with God was just fear of hell, honestly. And when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was at home with my sisters. They were babysitting us later at night. We were in my parents' room, and I remember running out in the kitchen to get something. Well, this fear came over me. I'm not sure why, but I ran back in the room, and I concocted this lie. I said that these guys were at the front door banging on the door wanting to get in, and if they didn't let me in, they were going to kill me. I said they had like a red convertible and everything. I don't know where it came from, but anyways, it was that fear that came over me. And then I held this lie in for about, I don't know, I think it was maybe freshman year of high school. I actually relayed this lie to my family. They all laughed about it. I'm like, I can't believe you made that up. Well, the reason I say that is it was just that fear of hell that was so ingrained in me. I felt like if I didn't share this lie, there's a chance I could go to hell. And I just couldn't see the forest for the trees, you know. It was all about the hell, not that relationship with God so much. And for those of you that have that fear of hell, I just want to read this Bible verse. So it starts off a little bit scary, but it gets better, I promise. So Luke 12:5-7 says, "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." This is where it gets better. "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." So what God is saying is, as long as you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you have nothing to fear. You're his child, and what parent would throw their child into hell, right? So the fear of hell should be for those that are actively rejecting God, you know, not repenting, living for themselves. So if you're in Christ, you're good. And then, high school and college came, and, you know, I just kind of felt like if I wasn't out getting drunk and doing drugs and having intercourse, even though I may have been doing similar things, right, I was pure. So it was like a religious mindset, and it was just justifying. And, you know, with religion, we like to justify things, you know, just like the Pharisees. They were hypocrites, whitewashed tombs. So that's kind of how I was living. And Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." So I was conscious of my sin. I had conviction, but it was, you know, more like, again, escaping hell. It wasn't that true relationship with God, someone that could set me free and deliver me from this sin. And, you know, we often get self-focused as well. And I just remember in high school, I wrestled. And what I did was I would print these Bible verses off. I would cut them up and put it in my wrestling shoe before my wrestling match. And it was a Bible verse about mounting up with wings as eagle. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. And honestly, it was more of a, I don't know, a lack of a better term, a manipulative thing. I just wanted to get something for myself. It was for myself. I wanted to win. It was for my glory and not so much for God's glory. It wasn't in that relationship with him. I wasn't spending a lot of time in prayer. And so I go to college, and I wasn't actively involved in church so much. You know, I'd go back home, and I'd go to church, obviously, but when I was in college, I just kind of did my own thing. I would occasionally attend like an FCA meeting, but, you know, just to basically make myself feel better. And I remember, I just remember feeling lonely a lot. And at the time, I was like, am I homesick? Like, what's going on? I just couldn't quite explain it. It was just a weird feeling a lot of times. And looking back now, I really do feel like it was just, I was not in that spiritual environment. Being at home, surrounded by safety of my parents and, you know, being in church in a spirit-filled environment. And so that just kind of led to a little bit of depression, honestly. And I really did want more of God. I just didn't quite know how to go about it myself. I would pray occasionally, but it was just shallow prayers. Sorry, I'm trying to get my spot here. So yeah, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I was missing that. And, Ezekiel talks about the sins of the Father will not be cast on the Son. So same goes for salvation or righteousness. Just because your parents are saved doesn't mean you are. It's a conscious decision that you have to make for yourself. And, this continued after college for a little bit, for a few years, and then Camden and my wife are there. We would go to church pretty regularly, and I think 2012 was what was the catalyzing year in my relationship with God. So long story short, that's when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. So she got filled about a week before me, and it was at my house. She and then my sister, she was living with us. It was around midnight. We were praying, and Candace says, "Go to the bathroom, get on your knees, put up your hands and pray." I'm like, all right, it's kind of weird. But I did it. I got on my knees, prayed for a few minutes, and came back, and she starts praying for me, and then she's like, smacks my heart. She's like, be filled with the Holy Spirit. She's like, haha, just kidding. And then, but I did feel something. I felt like a little bit of electricity go down my arm, and I hardly ever feel anything. So, you know, a lot of you might, and I know Camden and Kari last week, they're on the floor shaking under the power, like being electrocuted. So, but if you don't feel that, don't worry. It's not like a prerequisite to being filled. As long as you have Jesus, that's the main thing. But so after this happens, on my next way to work, I'm driving, and I just open my mouth, and I just start speaking in tongues, and it flowed freely. And I remember I would bring my Bible to Subway on my lunch break and just read the Word. I wanted to read the Word more often. I remember having more love for people, more love for God. I remember hearing God in different ways more clearly. So it was definitely a big change for me. And, you know, being baptized in the Spirit, it makes life easier, but by no means means that life's going to be perfect all the time. You're going to have tests, you're going to have trials, but walking in relationship with the real Father, the true Father, makes a world of difference. And, you know, I had the benefit of growing up with great parents, father and mother, Dan and Don Hellworth over here, the goats. So many of you had great parents as well, and many of you may have had a father that was not great, that may have been absent, that may have been even abusive. But I just implore you to get to know the true heart of the Father. So don't let that taint your idea of who God is, because that's not who He is. He's kind, He's loving, He's comforting, He's one to show you, okay, let me show you a better way. So yeah, heed that voice, live with conviction, ask Him to keep you on a short leash. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So we're all at different stages in life. We're all at different walks. We all have different backgrounds. You know, some may require more deliverance. Some may require more healing. But as long as we're in God, we're constantly being transformed into His glory. And we also have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind as well. And, you know, being baptized is not a one-and-done thing, right? So Pastor Jonah talked a couple weeks ago about getting the manna every day. You have to get your fresh manna. So you can't, you know, expect to go to a Bethel conference, have this amazing experience, and for that to sustain you the rest of the year. You have to constantly be in communion with the Holy Spirit, spending time in the Word, spending time with Him. Otherwise, you're going to lose some of that passion, that love. And, you know, we all go through seasons like this, right? I know I have many times, but God's more than welcome to bring you back with open arms, so. So, and yeah, don't let those lies like, oh, I've not spent enough time with God, He's not going to want to hear my prayers. Don't let those lies get to you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So don't believe those lies. He loves you. And I feel like God wants to talk about comparison a little bit. I feel like a lot of people in the church compare themselves to one another with giftings. You know, I feel like that grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, we all have a part in the body, whether you're the pinky toe or the heart, it doesn't matter. We all have a purpose and a function. So if someone has a strong prophetic gifting, which is oftentimes desirable, like, there's no reason to boast about that. There's no reason to be envious either. We all have our purpose. And Romans 12, 4 through 8 says, "For just as each of us has one body and many with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So all these things they're given by God, right? So without Him, our works are like filthy rags. So there's no reason to boast. And don't let your past hold you back either. I feel like this is a common thing for many of the church. They feel like their past shame and guilt and unworthiness keeps them from just their part in the Word and in the church. So don't let that hold you back. That's all a lie as well. You know, the church is not great about being honest. You know, Pastor Jonah again talked about authenticity. Like, just be real with one another. You know, we all have, again, different backgrounds and circumstances. None of us are perfect by any means. So just share with one another. Be open. Be honest. That's how you grow. That's how you help someone else that may have gone through something similar. So, yeah, I don't care whether, you know, you have had an affair, whether you've had an abortion, whether you have stabbed somebody, whether you've sold drugs. It doesn't matter. That's all in the past as long as you confess your sins. The Word says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and count you pure. So like that song we just sang, it's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. So God hates sin, don't get me wrong, but his blood covers it all if you go to him. So God, I just pray right now for those that are holding on to any guilt and condemnation from the past. Show them that your blood covers it all. Yeah, their past does not define them. It may be part of their story that they can share and help one another. But we thank you for that blood that covers that sin. And I just pray for those that maybe don't have a true relationship with him, that it's just been religion. I pray that you break that spirit of religion off. God, it's a two-way relationship, not one-sided, not a self-focused, religious-driven relationship. So I just pray that people truly turn to you today if they have not done so. And God, for those that have that fear of hell, like I mentioned earlier, that are your children, I just ask that you take that fear away right now. So let today just be confirmation that you are a good father. You have good plans for your children. Yeah, and for those that have not yet given their heart to you, Jesus, I pray that today would be the day. God, show them that they are not righteous without your blood. God, let today be the day that they turn to you, that you save them for eternity. God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for everything you've done for us. God, let your spirit reign in this church and in everyone's lives as they leave here today, and let it make an impact on those around them. We need you, we can't do without you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, let's honor Trent. Wow. Okay, you guys can be seated here. How many got something out of that, was impacted? Raise your hand. Yeah, come on, Trent. Thank you for bringing that. I felt like after he shared his story, like Paul shares the gospel, then as Paul's finishing his letters, there's these quick exhortations, and you were just rattling off powerful exhortations. Just one of those could change your life. So I want to go back and listen to that because I missed one or two, but that was so, so good. Okay, so I got a little scripture here that flashed on my heart this morning. This is from Ecclesiastes 4:9. How many love Ecclesiastes, the wisdom of Solomon? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. It's a principle throughout scripture. God never meant for us to be alone. Not good for man to be alone, so put him into a deep sleep. Took out his rib, and there we go, we get Eve. Why did I bring all that up? This amazing couple, yes, we're going to have a couple come up and share, and they're going to tag team together. Who's excited for that this morning? And I just want to say they've served this couple for the last 3 years in a lot of different capacities. I'm not going to rattle them all off. If you've been here for a little bit, you've seen them in one or more ministries serving. But it's been my pleasure to work with them since January as they're the directors of table groups. Who here appreciates table groups this morning? Got something from that? All the community, all the life. And I'll just say that this couple, they don't even have to speak it. You feel the mutual honor and support of each other. And you just feel it. It's, you know how you can say stuff, but you can feel stuff, right? Like 90% of our communication is the feel. And when I'm around them, when I'm communicating with them, I just see a couple in unity, not a perfect couple, but a couple that supports, honors each other, lets the other person speak, listens well, and they work together with him to bear a lot of fruit for the kingdom. So would you join me in honoring Travis and Brooke Evenden this morning?
Thank you, Pastor Matthew. Good morning, Valley Church. How are you guys today? I'm going to run over here and grab this stool because we might be here for a little bit. I've got a couple stories to tell this morning. Well, if we haven't met you yet, my name's Travis. This is my wife, Brooke. We want to give a couple shout-outs this morning. First of all, we know there's a lot of people watching online, and they're our family. And for whatever reason, they can't be here today, but we honor you, and we thank you for watching, and we know that the Lord is with you. Another quick shout-out In the back is my brother and my sister-in-law, Cody and
Melissa.
I'm sorry. And Mr. Walker. He's the little guy Brooke was holding earlier, if you saw him. So we love having them here.
Yeah, we've been watching him a couple days a week for about 6 months now, and I get to love a baby at my house and then send him home.
I love it. It's been good because we have four kids, so that is enough for us.
Yes.
That is enough. Several of them are in here up on stage. We see you guys, so you can't mess around because now we're on stage. But and then a few of them are in the children's ministry.
Yeah.
But we definitely wanted to share with you guys a little bit from our heart this morning about, you know, some of the things that we've walked through,
yeah,
and kind of what we see God doing in it.
Yeah.
But first, you wanted to share from
yeah.
this morning.
Yeah, so this is off script, but Fal was talking about going back to a moment where the Lord just really did something for you. And I've shared this testimony in a few places, but never here. When we first started coming to Valley, we were in a really desperate place. It was dark. Specifically me, I was dealing with a lot of mental health issues. I was struggling with my health. I was very sick. And I remember nights where I would sit in my living room after everyone had gone to bed, and I would just sob. And it was dark, and it was lonely, and I was terrified of what was happening because I didn't understand. We grew up in a church that was aware of the Spirit, but not really deep in it. And so I didn't know what was going on around me, and it was terrifying. And I had this one night, it was after Pastor Lynn had preached about the devil on your shoulder. And a couple weeks after that, I had this experience in my living room. I was up in the middle of the night, angry that Travis was sleeping peacefully, and I was just in turmoil. And I remember being on my couch and literally writhing in emotional pain, sobbing, and I couldn't stop it, and I didn't know what was going on. And I was ready to end my life. I was ready. I was over it. It was exhausting. And that night, I don't know why I said it, and I know now it was the Lord, but in the moment, I was like, who are you? And I heard audibly a whisper in my ear that said, suicide. And my eyes opened, and I was like, oh no. And I remember just sitting there on my couch and declaring, in Jesus' name, you have to go.
Yeah.
You don't belong here.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I had encountered the Lord's peace in an instant. I felt it just as a blanket. And from that moment on, I have known that it's my purpose to just sink in deeper and deeper with him every day. Because if he can take me from that to this, he can take anybody.
Amen. Yeah, and I feel like this morning, like, a lot of what we want to bring to you is this idea of, like, how do we walk with God through uncomfortable seasons?
Yeah.
How do we walk with God when things are really hard? And as we were preparing for this, I don't know why I was praying, and maybe because Pastor Lynn's in Mexico, God reminded me of a story of when I was in Mexico. I was in Tijuana. It was the last time I was in Tijuana a few years back, and I was on a mission trip. And
it's
so,
a decade, Trav. It was 10 years.
Was it 10
years?
I'm getting old. 10 years ago, apparently. A whole decade ago. I feel like Abraham Lincoln. One decade ago, I was in Tijuana, Mexico. So we're doing, you know, we built a house for this couple. We had visited some orphanages. And then on the last day or so, we went to the markets, you know, to buy a few things to bring home. And while I was there, I'd seen all these people. Tijuana has a really cool soccer team. It's got like a chihuahua. I don't know if anybody knows the soccer team, but it's a super cool soccer team. And I was like, I'm trying to get one of those jerseys, you know? And I'm looking around, and surprisingly, not a lot of young Mexican kids my size looking for soccer jerseys. I don't know if anybody So one of the guys at the market sees me and he's like, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Oh, I'm just looking for one of these jerseys." He's like, "Oh yeah, come with me. And so I follow him because I'm thinking maybe there's hope. And he brings me to another marketplace and he hands me this jersey. And I look at it and it's obviously a medium at best, right? It's just, and I was like, "Oh no, that's not gonna work." He's like, no, it'll work. So here I'm in Tijuana in this marketplace and he's pulling this jersey down onto me. And I'm just like, "I don't think so, buddy. Like, this is not comfortable, you know? It was not gonna work. I couldn't do it." And you know, as funny as that is, it's like we find ourselves, I think, in seasons where we're like, "This is not comfortable," yeah. Right? Like, "This is not good. I don't know how I got here. This isn't what my heart was desiring. This isn't what I thought it was going to be like. But here I am with a very small jersey on. And what do?"
Yeah. So we found ourselves in a season, not of small jerseys, but of uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
This last fall. Like Pastor Matthew said, we have served, I think, in every ministry in the church in some capacity, and it's been amazing. Our heart is to serve. We consider ourselves pretty high caliber people. We like to do a lot of things. We have 4 kids. We do a lot. We also live in Fruitland, and so we drive here. Sometimes it was 5 or 6 days a week we would come to do things, and we just loved it. But this last fall, we found ourselves restless. Like, we're doing too much. And that's not really something we've ever felt, because we like to do a lot. And we found ourselves kind of feeling like maybe it was time to slow down. But then there was this like flesh thing where it was like, if you step back, people won't notice you. Yeah. We were finding ourselves uncomfortable with this idea of, is my identity really wrapped in the things that I'm doing? And we had to come to the realization that it kind of was. And that was hard for us because we know that that's not how the Lord calls us to ministry at all. It's not what he calls our hearts to, it's to him. And so in kind of questioning our relevance here at the church, we kind of stepped back, which was terrifying.
Yeah, and I mean, and in that process, I think we had a lot of questions, right? Like we were constantly questioning, are we making the right decision? Are we following the Lord? Yeah. And I think in every uncomfortable position that you're not expecting, there's a lot of questions that come up. And, you know, sometimes these situations are not things you can just walk away from,
yeah.
Right? Sometimes these hard situations are things that, they're not choices you made. They're choices that were made for you, or there are things that just have happened to you. And, you know, as we prayed through it, I felt like there was like a truth coming out of this moment. And I find the same truth that Paul was struggling with in Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul, he's explaining to people, like, don't be anxious about anything. And I just kind of stopped there and I'm like, you know, Paul, that's really easy to say, right? Like, that's a really, really simple thing to say when somebody's hurting, when they're walking through something difficult, is don't worry. Don't worry. And as we were kind of working through this, we're like, you know, Paul, like, what do you know about being anxious? Well, if you don't know that Paul went through some stuff.
A little bit.
In fact, as he was writing this letter, he was under house arrest in Rome, and he was a Roman citizen, so he pretty much knew what was going to happen to people. Rome didn't really kind of let you go with a knock on the shoulder. Paul's writing, do not be anxious about anything, in a moment where he had every right to be anxious about everything. Everything around him, the world said, this is not going to go well for you. And I almost wonder if in this moment, as Paul's writing to the Philippians, if he remembered what he had heard about the Sermon on the Mount. Because there's a moment on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 where Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life. And I wonder if Paul was even under house arrest thinking, this is not very good. This is not a great situation. This is pretty uncomfortable. But I remember when Jesus walked through what he had to walk through, and he said the same thing. He said, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Yeah, Paul's like, yeah, I'm in chains, but I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Because Jesus didn't worry about it. So why should I have to worry about it? And I think that in that moment, Paul's realizing there's some truth here about how we have to respond to those things that happen in life.
Yeah.
And I feel like, real quick, even right now, I'm just reminded about a conversation I had on Friday. And a friend of mine, I really want to honor her story. She called me, and she was telling me about what she is calling her recovery from a brain tumor. Something she didn't choose, something that she can't change. She's tried to. She's done just about everything you can do to change it. Diet, exercise, all sorts of the health. There's a myriad of health activities you can do. And as I was talking to her, she said, you know, Travis, what I'm hearing right now is this. I need to be in the Word. I need to be in the Word. And I was so encouraged by that, because what she believes will help her the most in that recovery is being in the presence of God. Yeah. And so we get to choose, not necessarily the situation we're in, but we get to choose our response to it.
Yeah. So we found ourselves in this really uncomfortable situation. And sometimes it's something big, like whether you're in ministry or not. Sometimes I worry the most about whether I'm a good mom or not. Yeah. We found ourselves in seasons of family issues and work issues. And Travis is a real estate agent, so he's fully commissioned. And that's our only income, which can be terrifying.
Yeah.
And it always comes back to, what do I do?
Yeah.
And it's always the Lord. It's always the Lord.
Yeah, and I mean, Paul lays it out for us, right? He says, in everything, in Philippians 4:7, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I want to encourage you guys, like, I feel like there's really two parts to this. That the first part is prayer. And I think I was amazed, of course, how the Lord works, but Trent touched on this. Like, prayer is always acknowledging where we are to God. Prayer is always coming to him with our needs, whatever it is. It's like, it's an invitation. Prayer is an invitation from God to be like, come to me as you are. Right now, not cleaned up, not fixed up, not once you've figured it all out. Come to me when you don't know what to do, right?
Especially when you don't know what to do.
Especially when you don't know what to do. I was sharing with Brad on Thursday this lie that used to be, you know, sometimes you'd hear it around places where people would say things like, oh, You only pray when you need something. Or here's the other lie. You only pray, you're only thankful to God when he gives you good things. It's like, well, I pray on both ends of those, right? It's like, I pray when I need something. I pray when I'm thankful for things. Like, the invitation is relationship. The same for my friend who's on this journey. She's like, I hear the relationship invitation in the word. And we find it in prayer. And I feel like there are two distinct parts of this. There's being in prayer in relationship, and there's being in thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is just acknowledging where God is in the moment. It's like, Lord, I remember when you saved me then. Where are you now? And his response is always, I'm still right here.
Yep.
So we're taking the time. So in the midst of what the world would say is, oh, this is something you should worry about. This, you should do something about it, right? Paul didn't come and say, be anxious about nothing, but create a 10-step plan to get yourself out of trouble. He said, in prayer, acknowledging where you are, and in thanksgiving, acknowledging where God is, bring to him whatever it is that you hold. Because anxiety is the lie that says we need to control it. Anxiety is the lie. Uncomfortableness is the, I gotta get this thing off of me myself.
Yeah.
But prayer and thanksgiving says, who am I? Who am I to you, God? And you hear the truth, because it's a conversation. And then you go, who are you, God? And he says, I'm always faithful. I'm always there. I have the solution to it. And then from there is the gift.
So, we found ourselves having to acknowledge where our identity actually lied.
Yeah.
And it's not in how many ministries we can serve in. It's not in how many things we can do. It's in being a son and a daughter. And it's in just sitting in his love for us. And then we had this question. Is that enough?
Yep.
It should have been, but it felt scary to say, yeah, that's enough, because that meant of we were like letting go, you know? That's hard. But once we realized that his love is more than enough, we felt that peace of, it's time. We can do this, and we can just be.
Yeah.
And it was like a breath of fresh air for us to feel like nothing is pulling at us, and we just get to sit in his presence. And then there was this gratitude of, God, you knew exactly what we needed the whole time.
Yeah.
And we're stubborn.
But it's so true, and it says right there that when we come to him with prayer and thanksgiving, his response to us is always peace. And it's a peace that we don't get to understand.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's a peace that is part of his presence and his nearness,
yeah.
Right? And it surpasses the things that we want to try to figure it out. And so there's times where it's like, I don't get to step away from this problem.
Yeah.
But I don't have to participate in all the feelings that come with it.
Right. We don't always get to step away from, I don't get to stop being a mom, even though sometimes I get overwhelmed and I'm scared of my response. But I get to sit in his peace in it and know that he has it, and I don't have to try too hard.
Right. And it's something that is beyond even what we can comprehend, that his presence brings about a peace that it doesn't necessarily make sense. It doesn't make sense to the world. There were many times in the last 2 years with the way the economic status of our country has been, and with real estate. And, you know, I mean, we were like, I didn't realize when I became a realtor that we're like one of the top 10 hated professions in America. I was like, really? People don't like me? But there were so many times where people would be like, oh man, are you guys doing okay? I'm like, the Lord's providing for us. There was a time where we said, we're going to stop worrying about when the money comes in. We're going to start trusting God. Like, you have put me in this place. I believe you, God, that you're going to provide for me.
Yep.
Right? I can't change the economics. I don't have any of that power, and I don't want it. But what I want to do is, in everything, bring it to the Lord and trust him. And then all of a sudden, this peace comes over. And it says, it'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So again, it's a call to this relationship. But I think the best thing about this is, it doesn't say, and you can guard your own heart and mind. It says, the peace of God guards like a shield. Like, I was reading into this. It says like a garrison. It's like a military. Is there, who are the military in the house right now? Amen. Thank you all. It's a military term to guard, to create a garrison between you and your heart and your mind and the anxiety.
Yeah.
One of the definitions said fort, which was, I was like, I want Jesus to build me a fort. I want Jesus. I want to be in a fort with Jesus. That sounds
pillows
fun.
Pillows and blankets. It sounds fun.
But you can see how Paul is just wanting to share with them, hey, here's what I've seen and experienced about God and the way that not just your mind, not just what you think, but also what you feel. God honors all of that. And I even think, you know, we could probably even question, God, why do we even have the ability to feel anxiety? Was it the reason that he wants it to draw us closer to him? Right? When those moments come up, we realize that we need something greater than ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's easy for us to stand up here and say, don't be anxious. And we just kind of get to focus on him and everything will go away and be perfect. We know that's not true. Sometimes the most uncomfortable things we have to face every single day, they don't go away. We don't get to turn them off. But is his love enough for you? Even in the midst of it, even in the uncomfortable parts, even in the parts that you wish could go away, but they can't, is his love enough? Yeah. We find ourselves asking that question a lot because life, right? We all have those moments of, oh, the fear's coming back. And we get to make the choice of, nope, he says, I'm his daughter. He says, I get to have peace because he loves me, and that is enough. And we found ourselves, after this season of uncomfortable, in a season of so much peace. We just felt so happy to just sit in it. And out of that came other opportunities, like leading the table groups, which we were not expecting. And we could joyfully say yes to something because we had the peace that didn't make us anything.
Yeah.
It made us better leaders.
Yep. We realize we are more important to God than the sparrows.
Yeah.
And he takes care of them. Right? Well, this morning, church, we want to encourage you that when you're in the middle of the mess, when you're in the uncomfortable, tight shirt season, there's something that you get to do. And I think in verse 8 and 9, it shows us in Philippians, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So I just want to ask you, there's some really great things in life, and I think God has created many things for us to enjoy. But if I'm looking for something excellent and I find it in something of the world, it's going to disappoint me. It's going to disappoint me, and it's going to actually leave me wanting more. And I believe that what God is saying is, I'm going to come and bring you peace, and then I want you to keep your eyes on me, because I am the most excellent. God is the most excellent. God is the most pure. He is where all of these things come from, and we don't have to find it anywhere else. We don't have to create it ourselves.
Yeah.
We just have to find him. We find him in the mess, in the way the world wants to bring all of these things to our foot and say, figure it out. Decide for yourself, you know. Be strong. Build this for yourself.
How does that feel? Tell me all your feelings.
Right. We want to honor all the feelings. And in reality, God is saying, hey, actually, if you just give it to me, I can take care of it. I'm big enough. And I love you enough to take care of it. So we want to pray for you guys this morning. And we want to encourage you that when you're walking through those uncomfortable seasons, there's a God who never changes. He never leaves you. What he's done before, he'll do again. And if you've never experienced it, there's an opportunity every time in two simple ways, in finding out where you are and finding out where he is. Amen. Can we pray for you this morning? Want to pray? Okay.
Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your hope and your peace, Lord. I just pray for every person in this room right now, Lord, that as they're thinking of that thing, that you just help show them where you are in it. Show them exactly where you are and lift the burden of control and worry and fear and anxiety, Lord, and give them that peace. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room and all the people watching online, Lord, that they are here today for a reason, and it's to encounter you. So I just pray as we all go today, Lord, that you remind us in those moments where you are and what your peace is like when we just surrender a little bit. Thank you.
Yeah, you are a big and a good God. And we come today seeking you. And we're so thankful for your son. We're thankful that in his moments of anxiety, he looked to you. So we honor you, Jesus, and we come with open hearts to do whatever it is you want to do in us. Amen.